Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, reading verses 7 to 25. Hebrews 13, reading verses 7 to 25. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So far, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, this morning we are happy to receive Art and Laurie Jackson as members of this local church. And so I thought it profitable that we take some time this morning to look at that subject of the local church. Christ promised to provide this nurturing body when he promised to build his church, and with it stated that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I mean, that's some security that God is promising, that even the gates of hell are not going to be able to breach this wonderful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in the New Testament the church took on this local form, with local leaders, ministers and elders and deacons. And the church, with its local manifestations then, has been the prime nurturing mechanism for God's people. When that relationship between the local church and Christians is weakened, then Christians expose themselves to dangers. The book of Hebrews is a letter addressed to people that were in a very dangerous position. They were faced with a hostile environment such that some were tempted to forsake the church and to go back to the Jewish people, to go back to Judaism. And how things were in that system. To give up on the church and to go back to something else. Which belied a greater fault. To go away from the Lord Jesus Christ and back to the Old Testament system of sacrifice. It was a very dangerous move. But in this case, we're talking about them going from the church to the Jewish nation, to the temple, to the synagogue. And it was a move of apostasy and betrayal, not to mention the dangers that they would be exposing themselves to. And so the book ends. Among other things, the book speaks about, of course, telling us that Christ is superior than anything that they're going back to. And I might add, the church is superior than anything else that they had to go back to. And so the book ends, telling these people of this dangerous position and for them to stand firm, not to forsake the gathering together of the saints, to take comfort from the means that God had provided for them, namely the local church and elders and ministers that watch over their souls. It is well for us then to appropriately focus our minds on the blessings that are ours when we obey the injunctions before us, namely to be members of a church and to live under the care of those that God appoints as rulers, as shepherds over us. And I might say in a more broader context, this truth is in jeopardy to a certain extent and from different quarters. We have this idea, and some have, and hold it very dearly in certain cases, that the family is the most important. And so everything revolves around the family, and it gets to such extremes that worship comes to the family in that sense. In other words, the family substitutes for the church. A very, very dangerous move. Not to say that the family isn't important. Absolutely it is. Not that the parents don't have great responsibilities. Absolutely they do. But they cannot substitute for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot make their family into a church. It's a big mistake. And sad to say, many fall into it. Very conservative on many other levels, but they have this raising the family to such a level. The Lord Jesus Christ never said, "I will build a family and the gates of hell should not prevail against it," did he? Didn't say that. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not the family that's going to remain throughout eternity. It's the body of Christ. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Families, we have mixtures. Family doesn't remain, does it? In terms of that one unit. Children grow up, they leave. They make families of their own. No. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to the family that God has given all of these talents, pastors, elders, deacons, members, with all these different talents. Yes, they have talents, but they don't have everything that they need. It's not in the family that we grow up to the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the family. What I am saying is that it's a grave mistake when you so elevate the family that the father basically becomes the minister. No, that isn't the responsibility given to the family. It's to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even less that individuals think that they're so mature they don't really need the church. We can do it on our own. I have enough theology. I'm mature enough. The Lord Jesus Christ built his church for you. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are to be part of that temple that Peter speaks about, every brick, living brick, shaped and placed in its right position, so that this becomes the temple of God in which God dwells by his Spirit, then you can't be on your own. No. We are to be grafted in. We're to be part and parcel of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be cherished, needs to be viewed as it ought to be, the primary nurturer of the people of God, through whom the people come to faith, they're nurtured in the faith, and they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that the great commission is given to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In a world where institutions are not trusted, and I understand that, why it's the government, and we have mistrust in them, we need to be careful that we don't apply that in the scriptures itself and begin to look down on every institution, including the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not an institution created by man. It's an institution created by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at Revelation in the first three chapters, the letters are written to the churches. This is God writing letters to the churches. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is walking amongst the candlesticks which represent the churches. No, this is an institution of God. Imperfect as it is, with imperfect leaders and imperfect members, nevertheless, it is still the institution of God. And so we need to cherish it. And we need to take it seriously. But why? Well, certainly because of the spiritual provisions that we receive through the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the primary ones is the preaching of the Word, which is what we're told here in this passage. Remember those who rule over you in verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember those who rule over you who have spoken the Word of God to you. It's from them that you receive the preaching of God's Word. Faithful leaders that understand that the Bible is the Word of God and that they're not there to stand up and give moral lessons and pep talks to people. That's not our responsibility. Our task is to preach the Word. That's what Paul says to Timothy. Preach the Word in season and out of season. I'm not asking you to be innovative. I'm not asking you to come up with new techniques and new ways of exciting people and directing their lives. No. I've given you everything. I've given you my Word. I've breathed it out. I've given it to you in a book. You have to preach the Word. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received. I'm a channel of God. That's what he was saying. I haven't added to it. I haven't modified it. Just like it was forbidden of prophets to do. The prophets couldn't receive something from God and then alter it and then tell the people. No. Even less for the prophets to say, oh, God told me, when he never told them at all. Completely from themselves. No, both were false prophets. And they were to be rejected. No, the task of the prophets were to be a mouthpiece of God. In other words, for God to speak through them. And that's what ministers are for. And that's what he's saying to you. That you have, who have spoken the Word of God to you. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, when you received our word, you didn't receive it as the words of men, but as they truly are the words of God. So it's in the context of the church then that we have this wonderful privilege and blessing to hear God speak to us. We don't hear it in the world. We hear the opposite in the world. And there's no guarantee that we hear it clearly as we gather together as friends, as wonderful as that is, as we have Bible studies, as we seek to understand the Word of God. But in the offices of the church that God has ordained, He has put that responsibility officially on those that are trained for that. And that's why our church has such a high view of the ministry. We don't just look at people and say, oh, they're good talkers. Oh, they have good knowledge of the Bible, so let's make them ministers. Some churches are like that. But we're opposed to that. Not that you have to go to seminary necessarily, not that that's the only way of being trained, but you do have to be trained. You do have to know how to rightly divide the Word of God and to preach the whole counsel of God. That is highly, very important. If it's so important, we have to have our doctors go through such rigorous training because they deal with our body, why would we not expect the same for our soul? Why would that be any less? These people watch over your soul. And so we want to hear the Word of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15. And that's what God has given to us. The church has as its foundation, says Paul, the prophets, the apostles, with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the foundation of the church. Is there any other institution that has such a solid foundation? None that I know. None that I know. The ministry is the word of the word, then, is one major way in which members are nurtured. All scripture is God-breathed, profitable for us in every shape and form, in order that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God calls us to do. We want to be equipped. Well, the church is the arena in which that takes place. We must regard it as a wonderful provision that we have ministers who God ordains to preach His word so that our souls may be continually fed. Let that be one of the most important factors when we have to look for a church to join as needs arise. So many focus on so many other factors. You know, what's the size of the church? You know, what kind of music do they have? What kind of programs do they have? What do they do for this? What do they do for that? And I'm thinking, but you haven't asked whether they are faithful in preaching the word. I mean, if they're not faithful in preaching the word, you can have all of those things, and it means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But also, they preserve members from error. It is an understatement to say that Christians are attacked by false teachers and doctrines. The devil promotes lies over against the truth of God. Then the history of the church has clearly shown that doctrinal vigilance is a continual effort. How many of the epistles do not contain warnings about false doctrine, including false gospels? Then Paul reminds the Ephesians that the ministry of the word in the church was to prevent them from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. And Timothy is warned that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And John says the same thing in his epistle as he talks of many antichrists that have gone out from them. The Hebrews were in danger of being led astray, away from Christ, back to the Old Testament forms and types. They were not to be carried about by various and strange doctrines, says Hebrews 13 and verse 9. What a danger it was for them. They were so on the precipice. And the author is bringing them back to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and its glorious gospel. How we see movements come and go and people rush after them instead of remaining firm in good churches where the word is faithfully proclaimed. What a blessing we have to be members of churches with strong and rich history in regard to the Christian faith. We are not churches that ride the latest wave of doctrine. We're not churches that look for the latest fad and try to conform to it so that we can also benefit from people rushing for those things. No. We preach that faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And it's also the promotion by good conduct. Not only are we to have leaders that teach the truth and protect us from error, but also provide for us a wonderful pattern of godly walk that is evident to all. As they say, we must talk the talk and walk the walk. And Paul exhorts Timothy to be careful, he says, to carefully follow his doctrine, and then he adds, and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution. Paul just doesn't want him to hear what he's saying. He said, look at my whole life. Look at what I'm doing. Look at the way I live. All of this should be evidence to you. I'm not out to make a profit. I'm not trying to make a big name for myself. Look at my... I'm talked down to from everyone. I'm persecuted everywhere I go. I face death all day long. Is this someone that is preoccupied with one's image? There are many like that, you know. They have an agenda, a plan, a massive church. They want their name to be up there. They want to be on TV. But that wasn't Paul. That ought not to be the ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hear what we say. Look at the way that we live. In Hebrews, we read that they were to remember those who they heard and consider the outcome of their conduct. As they say, the proof is in the pudding. Let's look at the life of these people. If they fly in their jet planes and deliver a rousing speech and then fly away, I mean, that was Paul's attitude, right? He says to the Corinthians, he said, look, we come to you, we don't demand this, we don't demand that. We serve you, and what do? You treat us like dirt. You treat us like dirt. Other people come in, fly in with all kinds of credentials and they slap you around and tell you, do this, do that, give us this, give us that. He says, you worship them. You honor them. I mean, how foolish that is. Absolutely foolish. No, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to show itself not only in correct doctrine, but it ought to show itself in correct lifestyle. It ought to show. There ought to be a difference in us. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the shepherd. And though we do not have him with us, yet he assigns under shepherds to lead his sheep. That's what we are. We're leading in a godly walk. But it also provides spiritual protection. I know I've spoken a little bit about protection in terms of doctrine, but this is a little more than that. It's protection against our own sinfulness. Protection against our own sinfulness. What happens when we start straying? Well, what happens if a family starts straying? Who's going to call them back? No safety there. But in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do. It is a sad reality that we are all capable of going astray, either by being influenced by others, as mentioned above, or from within our own hearts. David was led astray by his own desires, which led him to commit adultery and murder. We know that Christians can fall into atrocious sins, as evidenced in 1 Corinthians 5, where a man acted immorally with his father's wife. Things that are shameful even to speak about, but they happen in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 5:19 shows that brethren may wander from the truth, and it becomes necessary to turn such a brother back. And of course, Matthew 18:15-20 addresses the fact that at times we turn upon each other, we sin against one another, and that creates a whole lot of problems. And such interventions are necessary then. And so we're told how to address that we go to our brother and we start to speak to him or sister, and if that doesn't work, we take some witnesses along, and we Christians too, so we try and resolve the situation. And even if that doesn't work, then at that point we tell it to the church, to the elders, that, and they deal with it, and they try and resolve it. So you can see all of these levels of safety for us if we go astray. At such times, we are in danger from the devil. And so God has provided a safeguard by providing us with men and an environment in which we can be helped, exhorted, persuaded against error. Let us not reject God's provisions as though we do not need them. No one needs to watch over us. No, God puts us under care and authority. And it comes then, may come to the point of Christian discipline. That's one of the marks, by the way, of a true church. In our liberal society that hates any kind of form of discipline until you need it, in terms of somebody against you, Christian discipline is a necessary part of God's provision, just as in the family. I mean, the world can see that. When there's no discipline in the family, it breaks apart and it wreaks havoc on the society. But we're still the society is still of that mentality. Oh no, you can't say anything to them. Starts with the young children. Oh, don't say they're wrong. Don't upset them. Well, that's not the case in the scriptures. We are too valuable to God for God not to intervene. That is the form of love. God says he disciplines those whom he loves. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't care less what happens to us. He wouldn't intervene at all. No, I let them go. Sheep going to say, oh, well, we got 99. No, but he doesn't do that. And so that's in Hebrews, by the way, where he talks about discipline. And that we ought not to moan and groan against it. We need to be thankful for it. Somebody cares enough about me. I'm important to someone. Each of you are important to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just sit aside as you wander off. No, we come and we talk to you in a loving manner to bring you back. That's what he's doing in Hebrews. These people are about to leave. These people are about to go back to Judaism. And he's not going to sit by and let that happen. He said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You're endangering yourself. You're going from, to put it in terms of food, you're going from the Lord's Supper and you're going back to the Passover. You're going back to the sacrifice. It's inferior. It doesn't work in and of itself. It only worked as pointing you to what we have now. We have the real thing now. To go back to forms and shadows is just a foolish move. We've come out of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified outside of Jerusalem, rejected by Jerusalem and Judaism. So let's go out to him. We have a continuing city. We don't need to go back to Jerusalem. We have an abiding city, an eternal city. The city of God is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't abandon it. And so in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this protection that there are others, not only the leaders, but members that care for you. And when things go awry and you start wondering and you start saying things that are not according to the scriptures, then others would bring you up on it. They'll talk to you about it. But in the context of love, in the environment of love, because you are their brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a debating society. We're not that. Where everyone looks at everyone, makes sure every T is crossed in the right way. No. But we do care for your soul. And so we say these things because it endangers you. And so God has provided that. It's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is granted to each and every one of us. David, as I've said so often, was a man after the heart of God. And yet he was disciplined and restored through the prophet Nathan that God sent to him, as he warned him that he was the man that deserved death. And yet by God's grace, that he would not die. People of God, when we come and we talk to you and we say, come back, we want to spare you that. That's why we come. So that you might receive the blessings and the strengthening of God. And finally, the spiritual proclamation, namely the gospel. We as Christians, and particularly as churches, have the glorious responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It is we that have the responsibility and authority to preach and to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the responsibility that you and I have. But if you're not part of the church, how are you doing that? You're just living your own life. This is your own little world, and you do whatever you want, and you pursue whatever goals you want. Is that what God saved you for? Surely you're part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely you have this mission that God has given to us to go into all the world. And you are one part of that. And you've been gifted in certain ways to contribute to that, as well as to contribute to the well-being of all God's people in that local church. So what are you doing? Living your own life? That's not what God called you for. And so that's a glorious responsibility that we have. And everyone plays a different part. But we all have to play our part. If not, it'd be like a body with maybe one arm that you can't use. That restricts you. Because this arm thinks it doesn't have to do anything. It's just coming along for the ride and doing whatever it wants over here. But the body has a certain function to fulfill. But this arm doesn't want to contribute. I don't know what there is on your body that you can say, you know, you can chop it off. I don't need it. I don't have too many volunteers. Because every part is important. You are important. And as you submit to God and as you give yourself to Him, then He will use you. Even the Apostle Paul didn't take it upon himself to do whatever he wanted to do. In Acts 13, we're told that Paul was sent out by the Holy Spirit, but it was through the church of Antioch. The church at Antioch prayed and fasted, and they laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sent them out. It's from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're to carry out the Christ's missionary mandate at home and abroad, and if you are to have a role in that, then it's the members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will do so. We as Christians and churches are light and salt of the earth. We are to be that city on a hill, shining brightly as we bear the gospel banner and manifest the Christian life individually and communally. The church is to carry out its ministry, that those that come into our midst will not say that we are out of our minds, as 1 Corinthians 14 suggests. When everyone's doing their own thing and we're not working together because of the chaos that they see. But rather, that they will be convinced by all through the word that is preached, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. When we are divided and contentious, then we are a bad witness. But when we stand together in the truth, then we are an effective voice and an example to all those around us. What commends and highlights the need for us to be united by means of local churches is the fact that we are viewed as a body, which though made of diverse parts, finds its strength in a united way in which all the members of a body work together, not only to benefit each other, but also to accomplish the work of God. God wants to nurture every member by the support and help given by the whole and varied body to each member. We are by this means to grow into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one Christian can apply such verses to himself or herself or to a family or to a group of Christians just getting together. No, it applies to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to serve the Lord meaningfully and effectively, then we are to recognize that the church is the vehicle for such service. What a comfort and strength it is for us to unite in our service to one another and to the Lord. How thankful we are to God for the provisions that He has given us in the church. We can look back and recall how many have been nurtured in our midst and walking and serving the Lord Jesus Christ in many different areas of this country. How glad we are that through the years we have grown in our faith and walked through the means of grace. How thankful that we are that those gifted individuals have come and gone, yet our strength was not in them, but in our collective service. All who have come into our church have blessed us, but also have been blessed by us too. How glad we are to receive others into our midst this morning. We have a place for them in our lives, in our hearts. God has a place for them in our midst to serve Him and us, and together for us to serve the Lord. Leaders and members alike are all instruments in the Lord's hands. None of us can stand on our own, but through God's grace, channeled through us, we can bear one another up before the Lord so that all can do their part. That's why the author says, pray for us. Pray for us. We can't stand on our own either. Paul often says to these young churches, pray for me also. But by God's grace, we can stand, we can grow, and we can serve. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your churches throughout the world. Many of us have lived in many other countries, many cities. And our Father, everywhere we see your faithful people. And Lord, what a blessing that is. An instant family. And our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless us in this place, that we would be that loving family that receives people into her midst, into our hearts, into our lives, so that we may serve you. Our Father, we're thankful for the blessings that you bestowed upon us already. Many of us that have been in this church, we ask, Lord, that that would continue and it would be something that we cherish. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless us, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we say.